Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Podcast Network Asia.
Why in particular choose tourism as the industry? Because I mean to say, I know you've seen the potential for the Philippines, right? From what you said, it's very inspiring. But among the different industries which you chose, why go in tourism? Is that something that is part of your own experience? Is that your own background? Is that why you chose tourism? Or did you see that there's a potential to leverage tourism if you compare to other Southeast Asian countries and you see our tourism industry still very underdeveloped?
Well, it frankly isn't that underdeveloped. I mean, I think it was in 2018 or 19, right prior to COVID and the first year after COVID, I think they did $42 billion in both in and outbound travel and tourism. So that's not a small market at all. That's U.S. dollars too, not peso. But yeah, look, our background is travel, right? I've spent almost 28 years in travel. Simple Nights core was travel. The technology platform initially was built around travel and tourism. It made it really easy for us to build the system and bring what I believe to be is a very kind of new age, new sophisticated, digital transformation platform to the Philippines and tap into an absolutely enormous market.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning to wherever you're watching or listening to my podcast here in the Philippines and all over the world. And welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In my podcast, I like to talk to the country's pioneering business personalities and trailblazing entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business. What are their success secrets? Can we replicate those success secrets in our own businesses? How have they innovated, pivoted, evolved their businesses during this pandemic? And what opportunities do they see emerging in the new normal scenario? Now, is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please let me know. I would love to learn from them as well. Just drop me a message. At the same time, we are live right now here on Kumu and on YouTube. Tonight on our podcast, a pioneering new app called Sige Go. Sige Go is powered by the technology of Simple Night. It's set to change the game for how you explore the Philippines. Simple Night will make the most of the Philippines' tourism as boundless opportunities lie in this sector of the country which promote truly Filipino pride. Poised to be an omnichannel platform of the country, Sige Go curated experiences that will revolutionize one's exploration here of the country with user-friendly technology and its vast offerings of bookable products and services. With that, I'd like to welcome the founder and president of Sige Go. Please welcome on my show, David Palmieri. Calling in all the way from where, David?
From New Jersey.
Thanks so much for waking up early for this one.
Thank you for having me, RJ.
So what time is it over there, if you don't mind? People just know how early you woke up for me.
Yeah, it's 7 a.m.
Oh, well, thanks so much for joining us. And you were just here a couple of weeks ago to launch Sige Go in the Philippines. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. I was there just about a week ago, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks.
And congratulations to you and, of course, to your partner for putting this fantastic business up to help the Philippines. Again, as we often invite people as they start off with the podcast, give us a better idea. What's the elevator pitch? What exactly is Sige Go all about?
Well, the elevator pitch really is a state-of-the-art omni-channel platform, really, that is designed to not just improve or promote inbound or outbound travel to the country, the Philippines, but also really to bleed into the everyday lives of Filipinos, right? So it is not purely just travel focused. It is also lifestyle focused, which, our hope is that it will improve the everyday lives of Filipinos, right? So it won't be just about booking a flight or hotel, but really those everyday things that a mom or dad or someone needs to do, whether it's taking your kid to a karate lesson or a spa or dance lessons. So it really is designed to bleed into the everyday lives of the user.
Got that. And we're using sort of like travel as the springboard to create this omnichannel. Is that right?
That's correct. It's really the easiest segue into it. We have a lot of experience there. So, you know, being able to provide the key travel categories, like air, hotel, ground, parking, dining, nightlife, tours, activities, events, those are really quite easy for us to do, especially with, you know, the technology backbone of Simple Night. It's really has been there, done that, right? So it makes it much easier. And then as it evolves and you start gathering this user data and really allow us to then really identify key areas that we believe will improve the lifestyles of the Filipinos. And then it will eventually start to add these categories as the platform grows.
Thanks so much. We've got people already chiming in over here on our comment box. Thanks so much, Al-Iza, thanking us, sending us a heart emoji. Thanks so much, Al-Iza. And we also have Athena Catriz, hashtag Sigego. Thanks so much for listening into the podcast here right now. David, I like how we're discussing the whole idea of vision of where Sigego will be. But there are people, I remember when my dad was still alive and he would listen into the show, some concepts would just, you know, he's a business guy, but, you know, very brick and mortar, understands traditional business. What you said might have flown over his head. Can you help us laymanize exactly what would be the experience of somebody using Sigego so that they can get a better appreciation right now?
Well, I mean, that's the key of omnichannel, right? So the omnichannel really is multiple channels that allows us to distribute the content through multiple forms, like so mobile app, right? In dash in your head unit of your vehicle, through smart homes. But it also has a very brick and mortar traditional interface that will allow someone to pick up the phone, call a contact center, and have them walk them through what they want to do. So it still has a very traditional brick and mortar omnichannel. And I've said it before, you know, my father, brilliant orthopedic surgeon, but get him to book something on a mobile phone. He's lucky he can even call you on the mobile phone, let alone, let alone book a 7-day vacation on it. So it was really important to make sure that we can reach any demographic, irrespective of economic status or skill or knowledge. It's something that was really important to us to make sure that we were able to provide that same service no matter what.
Got that. I just want to go back again to the chat box. Thanks again to my friend Mark Esguera. Let's pull up his comment, Zeke. He's saying a great discussion. And to my good friend, we also have here Jack Yu. Hi, Jack. How are you? Jack is saying, can't wait. Amazing platform. Thanks so much, Jack, for listening. And Athena Catrice saying, hi, RJ. Hi, David. Thanks so much for listening in on this podcast. Let's get back into this discussion right now, David. Now, we're going to really expand our understanding and appreciation of Sigego. But in the meantime, what I often find very interesting is when many expats or many foreigners come to the Philippines and see a lot of potential in the country, because sometimes, you know, Filipinos, and sometimes you can help it, they find greener pastures abroad to work, right? But there are people like sometimes, you know, there are many companies like Kumu was set up by, you know, Filipino Americans who saw the Philippines as, you know, this is a gold mine, a lot of things to do over here. They come back to set up their businesses here. And yourself, you're seeing the business in the Philippines as one of a lot of opportunities, especially in travel. Can you just help us better understand what is your perspective? Why are you seeing there's so much potential here in the Philippines to do business, especially when it starts off with travel, because you seem to be a well-traveled individual. But you said, let's start this opportunity here in the Philippines.
Well, I have a little bit of an advantage, I think, right? The first is my childhood best friend and co-founder, Salito Reyes, born in the Philippines. So I've been exposed to the Filipino culture since I'm a very young boy. that's really the first. The second is my stepmother was Filipino, so I was raised in an Italian Filipino household a little bit. But I started doing business in the Philippines over 22 years ago. So I've had a lot of exposure to it for many years. If you asked me this question 22 years ago, I probably wouldn't have a good answer for you. and over the years, I've really seen the country evolve. It's absolutely incredible. It's remarkable. And, 22 years ago, I don't believe there was a very visible middle class, right? It was either very wealthy, very poor. And, over the years of coming back and working with different airlines or hotels in the region, you started to see this country really boom and grow. And today, there is a very visible middle class, right, that you just have never seen before. And understanding the culture, understanding the people, it really made it very easy for us to make this decision to say, look, this is really the place to go. One of the largest countries in the world. It's one of the most beautiful countries in the world. And frankly, the people are just absolutely incredible, right? So it really made it easy for me, Salito, and Mark to make that decision to say, look, let's really embrace this. Let's head back to the Philippines, especially for Salito, right? Because it's a dream his father had for many years. So it was really kind of in that no-brainer box, if you will, right? To just say, look, this is the place. And that's it. We started the journey about a little over a year ago.
Why in particular choose tourism as the industry? Because I mean to say, I know you've seen the potential for the Philippines, right? From what you said, it's very inspiring. But among the different industries which you chose, why go in tourism? Is that something that is part of your own experience? Is that your own background? Is that why you chose tourism? Or did you see that there's a potential to leverage tourism if you compare it to other Southeast Asian countries and you see our tourism industry still very underdeveloped?
Well, it frankly isn't that underdeveloped. I mean, I think it was in 2018 or 19, right prior to COVID and the first year after COVID, I think they did $42 billion in both in and outbound travel and tourism. So that is not a small market at all. That's U.S. dollars too, not pesos. But yeah, our background is travel, right? I've spent almost 28 years in travel. Simple Nights core was travel. The technology platform initially was built around travel and tourism. It made it really easy for us to build the system and bring what I believe to be is a very kind of new age, new sophisticated, digital transformation platform to the Philippines and tap into an absolutely enormous market.
Got that. Again, going back to the comment section, we've got Catherine Picante over here saying, excited for this super platform. Thanks so much, Catherine. And of course, we've got our friends from sigigo.ph saying, woohoo, thanks so much, sigigo.ph. I just want to be clear, Dave, people who want to visit right now the platform, where can they check it out? Is it on an app store or is it right now is it web-based?
So right now, the launch we did was a soft launch and it's in beta. And everyone that attended or that was invited to that event will receive an email. They'll be able to download it. So it's still private, if you will. Mm-hmm. And our really the logic behind that, RG, was to have a large group of users to beta test this because we can, the trick when breaking into countries is, we could bring the platform in, we could bring the tech in, we could bring all of that. But what you can't bring is that last mile, right? The ability to localize the application, which is really critical because the best people to do that are the Filipinos. So we will beta test it over the next 90 days. And the official launch, national launch right now will be either the last weekend of September or first weekend of October. And then, yes, you'll be able to download it in the App Store or Android stores.
Right now, if people are watching us right now live, you can see we've actually visited sigigo.ph, so you can see what they've got over there. You'll never know until you go, Sigigo. And we've got Mark Esguerra over here. Thanks, Mark, for listening. He's saying, very promising, excited for the site. Just curious, how did you come up with the name Sigigo? Was that from you because you got that from your Filipina stepmom, or was that from your Filipino partner?
Well, funny story is, one of our directors of sales had this kind of vision years ago of trying to build a local app for Cebu. and he got it started and wireframed, and he had this name CGego. And you know, when we brought him on, it literally was perfect. We just said, look, there's no reason to look any further. It's a perfect name. It's okay. Let's go. And that was it. We never looked back.
Got that. And you were talking about, there's a CGego, and you also have, is that right? Is that Spotlight? Is that the name of the company?
Simple Night.
Simple Night. So for Simple Night, can you help me better understand? Simple Night, is that your software development company in the States?
Or? Well, Simple Night is the omni-channel platform, right? So it is a software tech company. You know, we started, well, Mark, the founder, started 12 years ago. We built the first system, hit COVID, and then decided to re-architect the system and shift focus. But yeah, it is the backbone. It is the technology platform. It provides everything, really, from the payment modules to the back end to, different interfaces for suppliers and users and stuff like that. So that really is, I guess you can say software development, but that is the backbone of CGego.
And just to clarify for people listening to us right now, what exactly do you mean when you say omnichannel?
So omnichannel means multiple channel, right? So it's means kind of any channel, right? And what I mean is, you know, those are the ways we distribute the content. So the CGego mobile app that everyone says it's the super app is a channel, right? So that's for a mobile user. The question or comment you had earlier about your father or your parents being brick and mortar channel, right? Facebook channel, TikTok, Instagram, online version. So those are all channels. So that's what omni-channel means. So it really means that we will distribute the content, the bookability, the experience through multiple channels, not just one or two.
If you don't mind, I know we talked about just the size of the Philippine tourism industry, how much business it was doing. But I just want your perspective, because you say that you've been doing tourism in the States and different countries. You've seen the potential. What are you seeing also as, I would guess, the USP or the unique selling proposition or the competitive advantage of Philippine tourism that you think can still be further leveraged if you compare us to other Southeast Asian countries? Because they often say, Thailand's a very unique, if like for a Westerner, like some of the States, you're probably the most comfortable here just because of the language and the familiarity with Western culture. And there are more exotic countries that they can visit from, I guess, a Western perspective. But what makes the Philippines, very enticing, I guess, for tourism that you still want to leverage?
Well, I think the first thing is the people. I've said it time and time again. I think, I've visited 127 countries in my life, and some absolutely breathtaking, beautiful, and some very scary. And a lot of countries, like they have amazing things to do and see. But I think the one thing that separates the Philippines from the rest of the world really is the culture. It's the people. I like I said, I've been doing business here 22 years. I don't think I've met one person that I didn't like. They're just very kind. They're welcoming and warming. And, it's not that other countries are not. But they seem just very special, right? A lot of pride the Filipinos have. That's, to me, one huge differentiator, because they will embrace it, right? They love it. The second is it's really one of the most beautiful places on earth. I mean, if you look at the different islands and, the food, and to me, it's virtually untapped. I mean, in some of the exercises we did with influencers and even our own team, they too realize it's really untapped. I mean, there's places that they have never been or seen or heard of in their own country, right? So I just think it's a great market. I think it's perfectly positioned for all of Asia Pac. It allows you to bleed into Thailand and Singapore and Indonesia, Malaysia, Japan. So I think there's a lot of factors to it. The evolving nation status helps, right? So it really screams for innovation. they're, you know, versus the U.S. or some more advanced countries, it allows us to do a lot more, have a greater impact, drive a lot of value. So there's numerous reasons, really.
Got that. And then as we move forward and look at the, you know, how we're going to be growing the Philippine tourism market, I'm also curious. I mean, you came here and, you know, I look at it that you've got, is that right, one Filipino-American on the team and yourself, and your last partner, is he Filipino as well, or is he Filipino-American as well?
So there's four of us, right? That's Mark Halberstein, and Mark is the founder CEO of Simple Night. Then Salito Reyes, who's also the CTO of Simple Night, but yes, born in the Philippines. And then Sandra Dela Cruz, who is born and raised in the Philippines.
Got that. And usually, if you come, you know, many people have great ideas, right? But it's all in the execution and getting it on the ground and running. So I'm just curious to find out, okay, I want to do this business in the Philippines. And there's a difference between I want to do this business in the Philippines and I'm going to run this business. I mean, what was next? So you had the idea, you had Simple Night's app, the software to do it. How did you actually go about? Because it's not an easy business. You mean tourism? There's a whole ecosystem and a lot of suppliers over there. How were you able to bring them into Sige Go?
Well, it started. I was attending an aviation conference in the UK a couple years ago. And we were talking about digital transformation, consumer experience, primarily for airlines. And there were quite a few folks that were there attending from the Department of Transportation and Travel and Tourism Bureau of the Philippines. When we got off the panel, they wanted to speak to me about, you know, how could someone, you know, like the Travel and Tourism Bureau leverage a platform like this so that they could drive more value to a lot of their businesses. And that's really how it started. So after several meetings going back and forth, you know, working with them on analysis, looking at the data, we made the decision that, you know, this, well, Philippines is the way to go. Second, it also really makes it easy when you have a system like Simple Night as the backbone, because, you know, you don't have to take years to develop the system. The system's developed. So now it really becomes more commercial execution than it is operational execution or technical execution. And yes, there are still some issues, not, I don't want to say issues, but things you have to do, right? Making sure you're ARC certified, IATA certified and incorporated and all of those things that you would naturally do anywhere, right? It certainly helps having locals there involved in it. It helps expedite that. There's no learning curve. So, you know, we understand how everything works politically, what we have to do, how we get it done. It made it very, very easy. Then, you know, you look at the market and you see all of these different suppliers all over the country that are just screaming for innovation, makes it really pretty easy to do. You know, you bring in the right team, you bring in the right marketing and branding, like with Active Social and Branded. So the difference here really is more on the commercial execution than it is anything else. For businesses starting, you know, to just come into the Philippines and build this thing, it's a beast. It would take millions of dollars a year to do.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's really a monumental effort. So I think if we had to build this thing from the ground up, you know, maybe we would not have done it. But when you have what we have, it really... It closes that gap. It closes this, the time frame in which it takes to do this. So that really is an advantage, you know, we have over a lot of other people that try to do this anywhere. Frankly, it doesn't matter where you are, but it certainly made it a lot easier. And those are the very difficult things to overcome. Payments, you know, how you deal with payments, how you deal with point of sale systems and things like that. You know, and there's still some localization that you have to do, right? And those are still very difficult and currently still working on them. But it's a lot easier to just put the focus on those things rather than having to really focus on building this thing from the ground up and stuff like that. So it made it really much easier for us to do.
I understand. And well, I want to just say shout out again to the other people commenting here on the chat box. We have over here Billy Bang, big fan of yours, saying we love you, David. And thanks so much, Billy. And we also have Jackie again. Thanks so much, Jack. Really keeping tags on our interview, saying amazing interview. Thanks so much. If you guys have questions that you want to ask Dave, please feel free to post them in the chat box. I'll try to get them to him. Now, what I want to ask you right now, usually when people think about developing a platform or an app, really they say, okay, this is trying to disrupt this, or this industry was ripe for disruption because there was something that was there that wasn't being done, a pain point that wasn't being properly addressed. What did you see that here in the Philippines? You were saying that, you know, you met the suppliers in the region. They were clamoring for innovation. What did you see wasn't working that you could disrupt with Sigigo?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think, you know, it's not only specifically to Sigigo. I think the industry in itself is ripe for disruption, really, worldwide, not just the Philippines. But when you look at, you know, the current distribution channels there, very traditional, good, great companies. I have nothing negative really to say about any of them. But, you know, they're traditional. Right. And it makes it easy to disrupt that. It's one of the reasons why we focused in lifestyle, because, you know, the lifestyle features of the platform, when bleeding into the everyday lives of consumers, is extremely disruptive. Very, very disruptive, very difficult to compete with, too, because it really becomes the go-to solution for everybody every day. It's not just about, you know, I want to book a trip somewhere now. Right. And, you know, the buying behaviors and addiction to these types of applications or loyalty, it's tremendous, right? And even myself, you know, I'm a United Airlines junkie. I live on United Airlines. I'm addicted to getting the miles and the points. And, you know, I don't care what airline in the world comes and says, look, you know, bring your business here. It's not happening, right? I'm staying on United, and that's it, right? So it's things like that, you know, that really give us a slight competitive advantage, you know, when breaking into new regions like this. The second, I'm going to go back to the pride of the Filipinos, right? This was, you know, built by Filipinos for Filipinos, and you know, I believe that they will embrace it.
Okay, so I'm actually getting pretty excited about this discussion, and the way that I want to frame this next part is this way for Sigigo. Let's say, for example, this was a traditional way for us to be able to book a tour in the Philippines. And I was coming here, let's say, was this app meant to be for people traveling, expats or tourists coming to the Philippines, or domestic tourism, or for both?
All of the above.
All of the above. Okay, got that. So, for example, I am a foreign tourist coming to the Philippines, and I want to book a flight. I want to go to the Philippines, book a flight, get a hotel, and visit different areas in the Philippines, right? There's a traditional way of doing that one. What is now the disrupted or Sigigo way of going to that same experience that makes it a lot different and more, I guess, seamless and more frictionless for him that you are disrupting?
Well, there are a couple things. The first is the single settlement feature, which is quite unique. And that means that the consumer, the user, can basically put everything into a shopping cart similar to Amazon, right? And they'll pay one time. So that experience is certainly disruptive. It's a differentiator. And really the second is, again, because it bleeds into what they're going to do on the trip, is we're very journey focused. It's not just about the bookends. It's really important to put a big focus on what happens when you get there, right? So now it becomes the go-to app the minute I land, right? So welcome to the Philippines. You know, here's your Seagego app. It just allows you to do things while you're there. Makes it very easy to buy things, add things, change things. So it's really, again, I think because, you bleed into the lifestyle of a user, you know, and that lifestyle could be a vacation. It doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, karate lessons or having pizza delivered for my kids. It could be, you know, I'm on a bucket list trip. We're visiting the Philippines for the first time. The user experience and booking was seamless. Now I arrive and I basically have a concierge in my pocket to help guide me through the rest of the journey. And it makes it very easy for the user.
So that means that if I get to the Philippines, I don't have to book a taxi or book a whatever. You just go on the app.
It's all there. Yep. Everything will be there.
And all the payment systems can be all through the app as well.
All there. Restaurant reservations. If there's things happening, you know, we could notify the app that, hey, don't miss this special event happening on such and such a date. Get your tickets here. You know, so everything's in the app, which, again, it just makes the experience while in destination much easier. There's lots of innovation around that. Lots of airlines are focusing on it. Some amazing programs, you know, that Iceland Air, Tap Air Portugal, you know, stopover programs. But again, brilliant, love them. Nothing negative to say other than the fact that they're not bookable, right? So it's more about informing the user or the traveler of what there is to do there, which means that, you know, that I have to go and find it. And if there's seven things that, let's say, that airline recommends, I may have to go to seven different places to book it.
I see.
You know, here it's I'm going to make these recommendations. I go to one place and I can book all seven things. So again, the user experience, I think, is far superior than anything.
In other words, Seagego app, you can find the recommendations, book the recommendations, and pay the recommendations all in the same app.
That's correct. Yep.
And also manage
them. So now also manage them, which is important. So you know, once they're booked, they're stored. You have the ability to go back, refer, change, cancel. You have the call center, the contact center. So if there's an issue, you can call right from the app to the contact center. They have full access to the itinerary. They can adjust things. So really, it's like a high-end concierge for everybody.
Okay. Now, having said that, my next question is that that's great because it's a universe of services that you can get. So my next question, and coming from where I run a small food business incubator, is how do you populate the app? Because like for my job is to populate my market. How do you populate the app, especially if it's a new app, to bring all these different services in there? I mean, especially right now that you're starting off.
Well, there's nothing magical about that. It's very traditional. You hire good salespeople, and they get out there in the market, which we do. We have an amazing sales team. And they get out there and they knock on doors, right? You have hunters and farmers, and and so far they've done an absolutely amazing job, right? Being able to get out there, meet with these suppliers. You know, we are noticing too, you know, that they're just screaming for innovation. These suppliers have amazing things to do, but they just don't have the platforms to help them do it. So it's you know, there's nothing really magical about that. It's very traditional. You know, it's getting the right sales team, the right management team, the right strategies, and then, like you said earlier, it's really about execution.
And for simple light, am I to understand correctly that it has other business interests in the U.S. and its sole business interest here right now is in the Philippines is to develop Seagego, or is Seagego the main project of Simple Light?
No. It's got major business interests worldwide, not just the United States. You know, we have seven other countries in line to launch already. We did promise and guarantee the Philippines that you would be the first. So there's Sri Lanka's coming, Uruguay, Colombia. We're in conversations with Jordan and France. But yeah, we are a big supplier and a book on Google, WeGo, We Power WeGo, Microsoft Book on Bing, Gentex. There's quite a bit in the U.S. as well. So it's not just the Philippines.
So in other words, you're starting off here in the Philippines for this type of the travel on the platform.
Well, yeah, so SimpleNight is a B2B system, right? So this is our very first B2C deployment.
I see.
So we are, you know, we're a behind the scenes company. We're very stealth. You don't know that we're behind it. You don't know that we're powering it. And we like it that way. But this is our first B2C deployment, which has been very interesting, actually very exciting. I actually like it. If you asked Mark 7 years ago, if he said, David, I want to go B2C, I would have jumped out a window. direct to consumer is very difficult. So far, so good. We've seemed to be doing it right. But again, it helps when you have an amazing leadership team. You've got great operations guys. You have great technical guys. And it's just a really super state-of-the-art platform. So it really makes it very easy for us.
If you don't mind me asking as well, you know, I often have startups over here on the show. And, you know, their basic story is bootstrapping, angel investor, Series A, right? I mean, for where they're coming from. But from my understanding, SimpleNight is an established privately held company in the States. They're coming to the Philippines, setting up this app. Is it just investing? Is SimpleNight investing in Sigigo, or is Sigigo being treated also sort of like, here's your own budget, run like a startup? If you don't mind me asking that question.
You know, really a little bit of both. I mean, I think, you know, SimpleNight really is a JV partner. Adekila, which is the company that I'm CEO of, is a shareholder investor in SimpleNight. And the Adekila is really the funding source, along with Intellibeast, which is, you know, Salito's company. But it's being funded by us right now. So we're the sole funding source. And, you know, when you have a company like SimpleNight that provides the tech, it's worth a tremendous amount of money, right? It makes it a lot easier. It's a significant advantage than traditional startups where they are bootstrapped. You know, they're running on fumes. They're mostly selling vaporware, you know, until they can get that first customer, and they're trying to drive value so that seed round doesn't, you know, take their firstborn. We don't have that problem. So it is a little bit of a different startup, if you will, right? Because in essence, it really isn't. It's being backed and supported by well-established companies.
Okay. And if I refer back to the earlier part of our conversation, you were saying that, you know, travel is just sort of like the springboard that jumps into more of what you can do with that. It becomes a lifestyle app. Can you help us better understand how Sigigo makes that transition from just being a travel and tourism sort of platform becoming a lifestyle platform?
Well, for each of the regions we're deploying, and we've got some strong BAs that are analyzing, as well as the beta testers that will use it to recommend the key lifestyle enhancers for the Filipino. And it's not easy. So the system can handle it. The architecture can handle it. Where we reach hurdles that we will build or go around is trying to aggregate the lifestyle content. When you start with travel, it's very easy to get air. It's very easy to get hotel. You know, it's very easy to get tours, activities. But when you bleed into lifestyle, you know, for example, there isn't one system, if you will, that aggregates karate schools for the Philippines. It's really difficult. And that's, you're going to rely very heavily on the sales team again. You're going to go back and rely very heavily on the tech to build those interfaces so that, you know, someone that owns a nail salon or a spa or a karate school can put that content in the system and make it bookable. It to me, it's one of the moats that we, you know, Mark likes to say we put a moat around it, and it is a moat. And the supply manager and the back end system is extremely unique, very robust, very flexible. It allows you know, any type of company, if it's sellable or bookable, to put their content there and sell it. But you know, the effort is substantial. It's not just a simple API into a huge system that provides millions of bookable things in 2 weeks. It takes a lot of work. And that's really the focus now. That's where we are, right? So those nine categories, the travel, you know, very easy to get those live, very easy to start to bleed into the travel sector. And then, you know, as we start to identify the key 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 areas that bleed into lifestyle, you know, our architecture allows that to happen very quickly. But and then the sales team will go out and ensure that they get the right people in the system.
Got that. And we also have right now, going back to the comment section, you've got Yanka Sed giving us a round of applause. Thank you so much, Yanka Sed, for listening in. And we also have Lich Azaro watching from Abu Dhabi. That's Rick and Mal. And thanks so much. Assalamu alaikum to you guys. Thanks for listening to the program. Now, I want to move on a bit more. And as you look, as you've been studying, like you said, you have to really study the Philippine tourism industry. I want to ask you, since a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs, you know, MSMEs, micro, small, medium enterprise or around the country might be listening here right now, what do you still see as the business opportunities that are still abounding, that haven't reached their full potential, or where Filipinos can still get into in the tourism ecosystem that you think will grow in a couple of years, that people should really invest their time and resources in?
Good question. To me, I think one of the biggest gaps really is payments. I think, which again, you know, I can't speak too much about it because it is one of the biggest moats that we do have around us is the payment side. I think, you know, aggregation systems, you know, where they can get a lot of the what we call long tail content into a single system makes it much easier. They all need it. Systems, aggregation systems for lifestyle is just untapped. There's a massive gap. No one has it. You know, being able to take bars and restaurants and, you know, yes, companies like Grab have the ability to have food delivered. And there are some companies out there that will provide static content of, you know, where to dine. But there are no systems really out there that aggregate all of that content to make it easier for companies like us to come in and then drive the demand to it. So to me, you know, those are key areas, you know, that I would focus on.
So you'd have people develop their own sort of mini marketplaces, which they can put onto Sigigo?
Yeah, I mean it is a gap. It's not only a gap in the Philippines. I mean it's a gap worldwide, really. You know, and you know, we do have the ability to do it, but again, you know, for speed to market, sometimes it's easier for us to just write a single API and pull all that content in than having to go and put, you know, 20,000 suppliers into a system. It just takes a lot of time, you know, and for us, it's more about speed, you know, to market. So I see the gaps there, for sure. You know, there's, you know, there is no disruption in rideshare. There is no disruption in certain areas, you know, where the country is screaming for some competitors to come in and start to add value or differentiation, in certain parts of travel.
Now, how about, in terms of travel per se, are there specific travel experiences or unexplored areas that you're still seeing that can still further grow, if you compare us to other countries or on an absolute basis? Are there areas or experiences that you think we can still improve on or, you know, make more popular?
Well, you and as it pertains to the Philippines or in general?
In the Philippines, that you think that we can still further.
Oh my gosh, for sure. I mean, the country's virtually untapped. I mean, it's you know, the night of the launch and some of the conversations we had with a lot of the people, they're just, you know, they just don't realize how much there is to do in their own country. I mean, same in the U.S., right? You sit here and you know, we live in one of the greatest countries in the world, and all we want to do is travel outside of it. But, you know, Have you ever stood, you know, and looked into the Grand Canyon? Have you ever gone to Yellowstone? Have you, you know, it's an absolutely breathtakingly beautiful country. And but everyone wants to travel abroad, right? We want to go to Europe. We want to go to Asia. We want, so it's the same thing, right? I mean, I think the Philippines is breathtaking. The beaches, the culture, the mountains, the fishing, the scuba diving. I mean, it's just endless amount of things to do almost year round, right? You do have some seasonality issues with your rainy season and typhoons and stuff like that. But for the most part, you know, you probably have a good solid 8 months of seasonality where you can travel. It's, you know, so I think it is, in my opinion, you know, look, I've been coming there 22 years. I've only been to Cebu, right? I have to travel throughout this country to see it, you know, all the things there is to do. It's just, in my opinion, untapped.
Got that. I've got an interesting question coming in the chat box from Susanna Halatin saying, what are the core values of CGGO as an emerging company? Interesting because, yeah, sometimes you want to know what are the top 2 to 3 things that you guys, what's your North Star, I guess, for the company? Or what is the purpose of CGGO as a company? The why?
Yeah, I mean, I think the purpose was to improve the lifestyles of the Filipino people, right? I mean, to bring innovation, to enhance their lifestyle. Really, at its core, right? We are here to not just improve the lifestyles of the Filipino people, but also the companies in the Philippines, right? There are a lot of amazing products and services that are struggling because they don't have visibility or distribution. You know, our model is very, you know, supplier friendly. You know, we want to grow them. We don't want to hurt them. Right. We don't look to take a huge chunk of their business. We take very little, if any, at all. Right. So it's really about improving the lifestyle for everybody.
Got that. You know, David, I didn't realize that, you know, we've actually been talking for almost an hour here right now and a lot of great insights coming in. And as we start wrapping up this discussion, I know that you had a wealth of experience working here in the Philippines, working all over the world. If you don't mind, as we share to the entrepreneurs listening to the podcast here right now, maybe you could share with them some great advice, 3 to 4 management hacks or success secrets which you wish you had learned when you were starting off that you're willing to pass on right now to the younger generation. What would be those pieces of advice?
Well, I think the first thing as an entrepreneur, you really have to take risk. You have to trust your gut. You have to do it. And you cannot be afraid of failure because failure, in my opinion, is the greatest learning lesson, right? I have failed many times. I've fallen flat on my face. So if you really try to predict the perfect solution, don't bother. That's not entrepreneurial, right? Do not put yourself in analysis paralysis and try to avoid failure. Failure is very important. It is the greatest or one of the greatest learning lessons. That is really critical to me. I think, you know, there are lots of brilliant entrepreneurs out there, but they just don't want to take risk. And to me, that's a key. You have to be able to take risk. The next really, I think is surrounding yourself with people that are smarter than you are. Right. And that's something I've also learned the hard way, right? And now I do, right? I surround myself with people that are smarter than me and I trust them. Trust is really important. You have to rely on your team. You cannot be the only person. Flat does not work, right? It just doesn't. Initially it does, you know, when you're in your seed stages, but eventually you've got to be willing to bring in the right people. And really I've also surrounded myself with a lot of great mentors, and you're really never too old to learn, right? At 51 years old, I still go back to my mentors for advice. It's really important to rely on them. And, you know, I've always said this and I'm not afraid to say it. You know, there was a lot of luck in my career. I surrounded myself with the right people at the right time. And I still have them as advisors today, almost 20 something years later. And I still rely on them. And it's really important. You know, I think it was Les Brown, the motivational speaker, says, you know, perfection does not exist and they should remove it from the dictionary, take it out. You know, you could try to achieve perfection, but if you think you're going to be perfect, it's not going to happen. You just have to really do your best and try to achieve your best, but just realize that achieving perfection could be the, you know, something that really hurts you.
Perfection could be your downfall.
It can. Yeah. For right. Sure.
And really priceless pieces of advice. Thanks so much for sharing, David. In fact, your friends from CGGo.ph saying over here, very well said. Again, thanks so much to CGGo. Dave, before we let you go, a bit more about CGGo. What are the key milestones that we can expect for CGGo in the next couple of months?
Well, the first milestone is getting through the beta, you know, with the several hundred people that are involved in it. It's a key milestone, really working on, I don't want to say improving the app, but working on the localization. It's a significant milestone. We've got to achieve that because, you know, we've built the platform at 90%. That last 10% needs to be really driven by the beta users. The next really milestone will be achieving the full launch end of September, October. In what we would say really a prime time ready, you know, ready platform. So there is a lot of work that we have to do. As I said earlier, it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect. But it's to me, the most critical right now is getting through this beta. And that is going to be a lot of work. It's tremendous because when those users use it and, you know, we'll send you a link, RJ, so that you can participate as well, is absolutely critical to get that right for the launch in October.
And hopefully I'll see you all again in the launch in October. Thanks so much for guesting over here, Dave Palmieri, all the way from New Jersey. Looking forward to seeing you here again in the Philippines. So for those who want to check out right now, CGGo has you can check out their website, CGGo.ph. And with that, thanks so much for Dave for guesting here. Time to go back to sleep now. Again, thanks.
No, I have a busy day. So.
Thanks for your time. We really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Podcast. We'll see you in the next podcast. Thanks, guys.
Have a good night.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.